In this episode, we discuss topics that some listeners may find distressing. We delve into the challenges of drug and alcohol addiction, as well as the complexities of prostitution. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, we urge you to seek the necessary help and support. You're not alone in your journey towards healing and recovery. If the subject matter is triggering for you, we recommend skipping this episode and prioritizing your well-being. For confidential and compassionate assistance, consider reaching out to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. Trained professionals are available to provide guidance and resources.
So let me understand this. So in the midst of prostitution, drugs, addiction, mm-hmm. your marriage, mm-hmm. and everything, you were doing hair.
Yeah.
How long have you been a hairstylist?
I started doing hair when I got sober at 40.
Okay.
My career went crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. I lost my clients love my work so much and live vicariously through my crazy life so much that they really knew I was going through something so hardcore that they just wanted to support me through it.
Right.
They all stuck with me. They stuck around me.
Yeah.
Only one that I lost along the way, she's now back.
So how did everything that was going on in your life affect how you were able to show up for your clients?
When I was relapsing, I was working at the Saks Fifth Avenue in the salon there, which is la-di-da, you know, and I was smoking crack in the bathroom, trying my best to numb my feelings. My body was trembling. My body was shaking. I couldn't control it. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what to do. Am I a piece of shit for not loving my husband, who's now a woman?
Yeah.
How the hell could that be more important to him than me? How could anything be more important to him than me?
Right.
I thought everything was about me, because uh-huh. that's what he told me. You married me, you know, like you told me no matter what, no matter what, no matter what.
Right.
I never knew there was something that was possible that could like rupture that.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I'm so excited to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. I'm really excited today, y'all, because I am live from the podcast summit right now in Miami, Florida, and I have a special guest with me. We just met. Her name is Allison Doss, and she is a hair color specialist, soon to be transitioning out of beauty to do some really fun and exciting things. So I'm really excited to have you and just to get to know you, because we just met, so
Thank
we can really
you.
Chat.
Yeah, I came to the podcast for one reason only, and you have fulfilled that for me, because I am, you know, evolving out from behind the chair and writing a book, publishing that, and mm-hmm. wanting to really get out there and like change some lives on like a global scale.
Yeah.
I know that doing podcasts is something that's very important. So this is my absolute very first opportunity sitting with a podcaster.
Yay.
With a microphone and being recorded. And I just appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I always tell people lately, like, this realization that I'm having is like, we're all simultaneously like fulfilling each other's dreams, like no matter where we are, no matter what level we are in our business or in our lives, like you're fulfilling my dream right now for, you know, even being here and agreeing to do this. And then likewise, this is your first interview. So this is an honor.
Thank
because
you.
I feel like this is the first of many, especially with what you're about to do, like totally, totally exciting. So before we jump into it, I would love to start off with a few icebreaker questions just to get us warmed up, and so the Friends and Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do for your brand.
Okay.
So the first one, just give us three random facts about you.
Three random facts. 7 years ago, I was homeless and crack addicted and alcoholic.
Wow.
Number two, I have two sons, the age 22 and 16, that I have been blessed with a new relationship with them because I didn't have them most of my life.
Yeah.
And number three, I have been on an incredible healing journey and surrendering to a God of my understanding that I never knew I needed.
Wow. Those are really powerful, like, random facts. I'm very proud of you for, you know, your sobriety. You look amazing.
Thank you. God is good.
God is good. And then the surrendering part, I'm just learning this concept of surrendering, and it's so scary, but it has been working. Like, it's been working because I used to hold so tight onto things and just like try to control every single aspect of my life. But now I'm just at a point where I'm just like, have your way. Like, whatever it's supposed to be, just be.
I've just discovered that expectations of people and trying to control the outcome of things have really kept me in a source of like anxiety. Yeah. And it's not truth, because it's just not true.
Yeah.
Those things are not facts. You cannot control people. And people will let you down.
Ooh, every single time. Oh my gosh. Let's see. When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
Right now. Right now, girl.
I love it. Real time. Real time doing this interview.
And that is my son calling. He has no idea what I'm doing.
I love that.
That's so cute.
So this is your first time doing a podcast interview ever. So like I said, first of many. Let me see. Ooh, what do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
Inspiring others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. And I feel like we do that. It's like beautypreneurs, beauty people in the beauty industry, period. Like, we are the source of inspiration for a lot of people. So
people tell me often, you're so resilient. Wow, you've been through so much. Like, I'm so tired of having to be the resilient one. Yeah. Although I know that's such a promise to know that I can get through anything.
Yeah.
I'm really just tired. I'm tired of going through things.
Yeah.
You know, I know that everything I go through is for my highest self and learning and evolution and transformation. But I'm tired, girl.
I hear that. I have a niece, and I told her one time, I was like, tell God that you do not need to be the example anymore. Like, you have learned enough lessons. You don't need your life to be an example. Like, ask for ease in the lessons.
Well, something kind of was said to me. I was meditating a couple of days ago. Believe it or not, I have a 16-year-old son by one man. I have a 22-year-old son by another man. It's like a Jerry Springer episode in my life. But I'm still in court proceedings with the 16-year-old's father.
Okay.
You know, because there's always like a battle. You know, someone's always the retreat. Someone's always the chaser, you know? And I'm meditating before the court proceedings, and I'm asking God, please take away my difficulties. And the thing I heard back was, if I take away the difficulties, how will you ever evolve into your highest self?
Mm.
It has been proven to me over and over, although I don't see it at that time, but later, like the massive blessing that came because of something that happened, although I couldn't see it at the time.
Yeah.
And so if the difficulties were taken away, how will I have like the revelations of the blessings that have come because of that and the evolution of higher thinking?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I got you. I go downstairs, get in my car to go get coffee. Uh-huh. My car won't start. I'm
God. It's always something.
God, you are funny, but I get it and I don't mind it at all. I'm at peace today.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Those are the hard lessons we have to learn in life. Yeah. Let me see. The last one. So if you weren't a hair colorist right now, a hairstylist, is there anything else you could see yourself doing?
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm on the road to doing it. I'm of the mentality of, I want to make the most money with the least amount of physical labor. My body cannot take it anymore. I can't take my arms up in the air anymore. I just can't take it. So I know that showing up and doing transformational speaking and changing people's lives, I will be able to make the most money by showing up and sharing what I've been through. Because if I can get off the street, if I can get sober, if I can get through the relationship issues that we'll talk about a little bit later, if I can do that, you can too. So if I can help you do that, then all of it's not in vain.
Right.
It's like for a purpose. And I feel purposeful.
Yeah, I love that. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for sharing. Like, just a little bit that you shared so far, just about your background, is like really, really powerful. And I know you're gonna definitely transform a lot of lives once you like start to get out there and share your story and share your message. So take me back. So you said you've been clean for seven years?
Not completely. I've had a journey with that.
Okay.
But the absolute rock bottom I was 40 years old. Mm-hmm. It was a culmination of alcoholism and drug addiction from the time of 17. And at that point, I was 40 years old.
Wow.
It started out as a party in New York City. You know, club kid, stripper, everything was all a party.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from Louisiana.
Okay.
But I ran from there screaming when I was 17 because it was just so narrow-minded and so racist. And I liked the black guys. And my parents sent me to a private school. And I'm like, I can't believe you're telling me what to do.
Yeah.
So as soon as I graduated, I, you know, hit the hills. And I went to Washington, D.C. because
That's
thought...
That's where I'm from.
I went to D.C. because I thought that had to be the best place on the planet because I read in a book it's our nation's capital.
Right.
I'm from a 500 population town from a farm. Mm-hmm. So to me, DC was like the cat's meow.
Yeah.
I went there, didn't really have a rhyme or reason, just that I knew I had to be there. Got recruited to be a stripper at the age of 17, and that really set in motion, you know, that environment of sexualizing my body and getting what I want from men and alcohol and drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
And along the way, I mean, that was 17, you know, like, so at 40 years old, that whole lifestyle had led me all over the world.
Yeah.
And I thought it was something glamorous. All the things had happened along the way that should have been like rock bottoms, like losing custody of my kids, my very best friend dying, like so many things happened, arrests, jail time, car wrecks, you know, but for me, it took being completely homeless, you know, living in like a really like dark place in the hood in Riviera Beach, which if you're from Florida, you know, you just don't touch base there.
Okay.
And I thought that's where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
No one knew where I was. And I was prostituting, walking the street, jumping in strange men's cars, like doing what I had to do for $20, jump out, go back, go, you know, doing the shuffle. And then one of the other girls out there that was a drug addict also, she jumped me.
Wow.
I was in a trap house. She didn't want me in the trap house.
And
she jumped me. And
this is a movie.
And she cut my face. I have like a big scar here. And that was July 4th, 7 years ago. And I remember putting a dirty sock on my face and walking to the hospital and for the first time in my life going, God help me.
Yeah.
I had never spoken those words in my life, you know? And God saw fit to place someone in my life. An old friend that was working in a treatment center got me into treatment. So that started my journey at 40.
Wow.
That was the God's gift of desperation that was given to me was my vanity. My face got cut. I'm like, oh, shit.
Right.
This is real.
Right.
I might die out here.
Right.
And I never thought about that before.
Wow.
You know, I was just so focused on just being high and like hiding from the shame of being a bad mom, an absent mom, you know, I was so shame filled.
Yeah.
But you don't realize it at the time.
Yeah.
You know? So
the things that you were doing, like acting out, doing drugs and prostituting, was basically in response to being shame-filled?
Well, I believe I'm an addict. I believe that's just like my personality, to be addicted to drugs. That was my solution for things.
Yeah.
I don't know why it started. I think it started because I wanted to party at 17.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a reason. I just wanted to feel good and different.
Mm-hmm.
But then it culminated into something so dark and so different,
you
know? And so when I got sober, I met a guy.
It's always a guy.
I met a guy. And although I'd had two children by two relationships, I was still seeking something from a man.
Yeah.
You know, and this man became my higher powers, 10 years younger than me. Abs. He didn't really want anything to do with me, which triggered my competition. Like, I just got to get this man laying down.
Yeah.
And like, it is on.
Right.
You know? And I did. And I got him, and we got married.
Okay.
And we moved out to LA, and I just really poured into him, and I thought this was kind of like God's reward to me for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I got my kids back in my life. My career took off.
Yeah.
I'm sober. Like, life is really good. I've got everything under control.
Yeah.
Until.
Wow.
Until
you hit the rock bottom?
No. The rock bottom was the face getting cut on the street. Until my husband told me that he thinks he might be transgender.
Really?
That was 2 years ago.
Wow.
So this beautiful facade of like, oh, my life is so good. Look what I'm doing. Look what God has done for me because I'm doing the next right thing. I'm sober. The rug was like.
It's like, what is the lesson? Like, what are you trying to teach me?
Well, I mean, I don't think we ever really know. To think I know what it all is would, you know, make me think that I'm on par with what, you know, God thought.
Yeah.
But for me, it's been about really listening to my body and feeling what my body is telling me. Because along the way in that relationship, there were behaviors that just ran over my boundaries.
Yeah.
Things that didn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. I got this. I can handle this. I got this. Like, different sexual requests that were not for me, but right. I did it for him,
right.
That were strange. Or he wanted to wear my underwear, or there were different little things that I could feel.
Little signs.
I could feel it
in
my body.
And we tend to ignore those gut feelings a lot.
Always.
Yeah. Until it's always. Like smacks us in the face. It was like.
Until God gives you something that you cannot possibly ignore in your body. When he told me that he thinks he might be transgender, I was still trying to rationalize it like, okay, so what does that mean for me? Okay, this guy was a bodybuilder. Okay.
Wow.
So handsome.
So basically overcompensating for what he was really feeling.
Who knows? I cannot speak for his narrative. But I just figured I can handle this. Okay, so what does that mean? And he's just like, I feel more comfortable in women's clothes. Okay, I know that. And
okay.
I'm still trying to like make sense of it. I can handle this, you know? Well, you know, I might want to take hormones. But I was used to seeing him put a needle in his ass because of testosterone and all
right.
the bodybuilding. I'm like, okay, and what's that going to do?
Right.
And he said, it's going to soften my facial features. I'm like, so what? He's chiseled. What's a little softening going to do? Okay, I can handle that.
Okay, and like, what's next?
Yes. And then he said the words that my body crumbled to the ground, the thing that I could not listen to, and give me breasts.
Wow.
No matter what, could not handle seeing that face and that man and that body and my husband on top of me
right.
as my husband with breasts.
Right.
And my body said,
so what does that mean
bitch,
for the marriage?
Now, bitch. I left.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in LA at the time. I ran from LA back to Florida. But society tells me and us that we accept people for who they are, and if you don't,
you're a bad
you're
person.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I also love this person.
Right.
So I really wanted to see them soul to soul, but that came later. What I really tried to do was manipulate this shit away.
Yeah.
I used all my sexual tactics. I used all my shame-filled rage. I relapsed really hard.
Okay.
And showed it off on the FaceTime camera and said, look what you're making me do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did all the things that have always worked for me in the past to get things to go the way that I want them.
Right. And it didn't work this time.
And then the day he said, Allison, you have got to stop calling me Frank. Frank is dead. I said, what? All this isn't working?
Right.
My whole life, it's always worked.
Right.
Everything's always gone my way. And I couldn't make it stop.
Wow.
There was nothing I could do except surrender. But what do I do with that? Do I want my husband back? Do I want her as my wife?
Right.
Am I?
It's like reimagining like a whole new life for yourself. Like that contradicts what you originally thought it was going to be.
This is that pivot point. This is like, I'm amazed that information can cause the energy in your body to go whoop, and you are forced to go another way, whether it's, honey, I cheated on you.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you were going changes in a moment and you don't want to.
That resistance. Oh, my gosh.
You don't want to.
So let me understand this. So in the midst of prostitution, drugs, addiction, your marriage, and everything, you were doing hair.
Yeah.
How long have you been a hairstylist?
I started doing hair when I got sober at 40.
Okay.
My career went crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. I lost my clients love my work so much and live vicariously through my crazy life so much that they really knew I was going through something so hardcore that they just wanted to support me through it.
Right.
They all stuck with me. They stuck around me.
Yeah.
Only one that I lost along the way, she's now back.
So how did everything that was going on in your life affect how you were able to show up for your clients?
While I was relapsing, I was working at the Saks Fifth Avenue in the salon there, which is la-di-da, you know. And I was smoking crack in the bathroom, trying my best to numb my feelings. My body was trembling. My body was shaking. I couldn't control it. I didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do. Am I a piece of shit for not loving my husband, who's now a woman?
Yeah.
How the hell could that be more important to him than me? How could anything be more important to him than me?
Right.
I thought everything was about me, because that's what he told me. You married me, you know, like you told me no matter what, no matter what, no matter what.
Right.
I never knew there was something that was possible that could like rupture that.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
But over time, I'm talking like I did everything to try to see through the transition and be with this person.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to not be a consequence in her life.
Because
there's so many consequences for her. My husband had the red carpet rolled out for him. And now as, you know, a trans woman, her life is incredibly different. So I didn't want to be another consequence. So I'm beating myself. I'm trying to fit my square ass into a round hole, banging my head every day. I'm going to go through hypnotherapy. I'm going to go through acupuncture. I'm going to go through inner child workshops. I'm going to go through therapy. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to, all the things I could possibly do to heal enough to see through the transition into my husband's eyes and be with that person.
Yeah.
It's been 2.5 years. I have not been able to do it.
Okay.
And today I am okay with that.
So you're okay with that?
I am okay with the fact that my nature is to be with a masculine energy.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see writhing on top of me when I'm in bed.
Because, I mean, that's what you signed up for. So if that changes, then that changes.
It's just my nature.
Yeah.
No
shame in that. Look, I've been here like at the, like where the men's at. Like that's how I've been like this whole time. Like where they at?
Girl, I told my girlfriends, I'm like, listen, I think I'm going to be the only white person there. I'm like, and I love it.
Yes.
Because I'm you all stand the out. Black boys.
Yes. You stand out.
I'm like, I might even curl my hair because I never curl my hair. And they're like, I said, I just want to kind of stand out. They're like, you got a butterfly tattoo on your throat and you're the only white person there, but you need to curl your hair.
Right.
Girl, stop.
Like, let's go to the next. Let's do it even more. Like, let's take this thing up several notches. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is incredible. So you decided to just start doing hair at 40.
Yeah.
So you had to go through like the whole cosmetology school process and everything.
When I was pregnant with my 16-year-old son, Donovan, okay. I've had bouts of sobriety along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was pregnant with him, I went to school, was an assistant for a short period of time, and then relapsed shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to depending on men for money.
Yeah.
In any way possible.
Okay.
And that's always been like the fallback plan.
What have you realized has always been like, not always, but what is mainly like the source of you relapsing, like going back? Like if you're doing well, you're sober, like what is it something like a life event happens and you're like, okay, I need
An addict loves a good excuse to relapse.
Okay.
We love a good excuse. And a husband coming out as transgender was the best excuse ever. I got a lot of corroboration for that. Oh, girl, I don't blame you. I don't need to hear that, but thanks.
Right,
you know,
right.
For me, I think it's not being God dependent. When I lose focus on God and God's will, that's when I start to fall short. And that's when I have, that's when I find another solution. And for me, the solution is altering my mind and body, you know what I mean? Getting out of my own head.
Yeah.
But if I am in active surrender every day, that is an action. That's not a thought. It's not a prayer. It is an action. I surrender my children to God. That is God's will. They are not my property. I surrender my life, my friends. I surrender every day. God, I know you got me and I know that I'm going to be okay with whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's an action every single day.
And it's a learned action because it ain't easy.
It's just a habit.
Yeah.
It's a habit. But you got to be willing to believe in a power greater than yourself. I don't have control over anything.
Yeah.
You know? And I have Boss Doss on my knuckles because this is my last name. I've always thought I was the boss of everything and everybody.
Uh-huh.
So this whole situation has been like an extreme unbossing. Like, and I'm like, ooh, I kind of feel all right with that. Like, I'm kind of relax now.
Yeah, unbossing. I like that.
I'm not the puppeteer.
Yeah, I like that. The idea of unbossing. What does that look like, the unbossing?
It's that surrender that you're not in control. I have control of what I put in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
There are little particular things throughout the day that I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually have a little control over something.
Right, but that next breath, we never know.
No, yeah, I mean, this has been a real big lesson for me in being unconditionally loving, not for others, but for myself. Mm-hmm. I always thought I needed to be unconditionally loving for my ex because he's going through so much. You know, I'm like, hold up. This is all directed towards me. Yeah. It was like the transformation was never about her. It was always about me.
Right. It's always about the individual.
But we run around trying to control the people's existence, children, husbands, wives. How could the focus be on me if I'm doing that?
Right. Do you have any advice for like people who may be going through something similar, a hard time, maybe addiction as well, mm-hmm. and they're trying to still operate in their business? Like, mm-hmm. do you have any advice for them as to like just to get them over that slump?
I believe that for myself, when I'm in my addiction or I'm deep in my alcoholism or deep in my self-centeredness, because alcoholism and addiction is centered in self-centeredness. We need to protect that shit from everybody so they don't try to make a stop. Mm-hmm. Is not hiding in shame because of it. There is help. Reach out. Get help. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. Everyone has addictions. Ours just happens to keep us.
Right.
Out of society's like proper workings. Listen, you know?
About everyone had not to cut you off, but I was watching this show. I think it might be My Strange Addiction last night. And this guy, the clip is viral right now on Instagram, but he's addicted to smelling tuna. So he's like going on blind dates and he's like slurping it. Cause like you said, everybody has an addiction. It might not be to, you know, certain levels, but everybody has their own.
Everyone has a vice. For alcoholics and addicts, there's a stigma because people are just like, well, just stop. It's ruining your life. But it is like, for me, it's been very much so trying to fill a God-shaped hole that I didn't know was there. Mm-hmm. You know, like keeping connection with my higher power is the utmost important. Yes. Another thing that's been really important, like when we're hiding in shame and we're wronging others, which is something that we do daily, you know, it's important to like make amends to those people like super quick so you don't live in shame. As soon as I start to build resentment against you or her, then I'm like living in my own shit.
Yeah.
And that is something that could bring me back to like using to solve my problem.
Gotcha.
But it's a me problem. It's not a you problem. I may resent you because you're prettier than me. Your hair, like, you know, there's a resenting people.
Yeah.
Something that like I would always tell people, if you're feeling resentment, make amends to people. People like to hear that shit. And it frees you. Free them, free you. I've had the opportunity to. Make amends for some things that I have done in my past that were definitely not pretty, and some things that could land me in prison. But it's a freedom. Free yourself. If someone's suffering, you know, you just got to be honest and free yourself and talk to somebody and not just keep it to yourself, because there's a community for you no matter what it is.
No matter what it is. They have a whole community for people who want to be mermaids. I've watched it on Netflix.
Furries.
No, I have not.
That's another podcast.
I loved it. I love the furries. Oh my, this is really fascinating. So now I know that, I don't want to say, are you transitioning out of hair? Like, are you not going to do hair anymore? Because I know a lot of my friends in beauty are transitioning. I've seen it over, I feel like it was the pandemic that really like sparked it. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of my friends in beauty like transition from makeup, hair, styling, whatever, to do maybe something else in the beauty industry, or maybe something that's even totally like different.
I have a booming, thriving business.
Okay.
I'm booked out 6 weeks in advance. Right now I'm trying to train an assistant to do exactly what I do so that my clients have someone trustworthy to return to.
And where are you based?
Delray Beach.
Okay.
This hair has been so good to me. I had no idea that I wouldn't have to be on my knees doing other things for the rest of my life. But God has blessed me with this beautiful gift of doing hair. Yeah. But I'm feeling a bit confined behind the chair. Mm-hmm. And it's now I'm feeling like a massive expansion happening and drive to do something else.
Yeah.
So when my salary and my new expansion meets the salary in hair, I'm done.
Got you. Okay.
I'm done. I don't know if that will be 1 year. It could be 6 months. It could be 2 years. But as soon as that meets that, I'm out.
Got you. What kind of services do you do now?
I'm a platinum hair specialist.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I make people's hair white.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and they pay for it.
Oh my God. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that's like a really like...
It's a niche thing.
Niche and also like a serious process to be taking somebody's hair from like...
Yes.
Wow. So
it's a long process. People trust me to do it. I'm confident in doing it. I've been doing it a while. And if someone is in the beauty industry or they're just getting started, like I literally just started my career 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like award winning, globally, like nominated for things, you know, like if you put your mind to something like, and it feels good, do it to the best of your ability. My Instagram, I started just flooding it with models, picking people from the mall, doing their hair white. And you know what I mean? Just like, pick a team and play for it. Because people don't want to see you all over the place. When I want to get something done, I look for someone whose specialty is that, no matter what it is.
So do you think it is the how niche you are that made you explode in such a short amount of time? Because there's a lot of people who have been in the industry for like years or decades, and they still don't feel like they've reached a certain milestone or plateau. They feel like they plateaued in there. So what do you think it was that when you said, okay, I'm going to do hair, and then 6 years later, you're getting awards. Like, what do you think it
was? I never even knew that was an option, the awards. And I never even knew that you could make, you know, six figures, like triple six figures doing hair.
Yeah.
Never crossed. I was happy making $100 a week as an assistant. I was happy making $400 a week. And I was just like, wow, I had no idea it could explode. But the beauty industry is huge, obviously. But like, if someone feels like they're plateauing, like, find someone who does something that makes you feel something. When I would see platinum transformations, like dark hair to white hair on Instagram, I felt something. I was like, oh, I want more of that.
Yeah.
I want more of that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So find a mentor, a colorist, a stylist that you're like, oh, when you look at their shit and be like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And only do that because it makes you feel good. So in return, the people you do it to are going to feel it too. And why would you not want that?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes we just have too much information as well. Like, I do know that, like, investing in yourself and getting in the room and, like, just learning is a good thing. But sometimes I feel like that's what hinders people.
Yeah.
Because like, it's like they know too much. So, like, with you coming into it and not really knowing the possibilities of the industry, I feel like that was, like, an advantage to you. Because when you do know the possibilities and then, like, sometimes you try so hard to get it, it's like... You just gotta
Do it
with
what,
ease.
What lights,
like, let it happen.
It's gotta be what lights you up. You can't do it for an end goal. You know, it's gotta light your shit up.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not purposeful passion.
Right.
You know, and you won't be the authority on what you're doing because you've got like this end goal. Whether it's and that's your ego talking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you like drop the ego at the door and feel it, and it's purposeful, that shit that you wanted is gonna be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my God. This is such a great conversation. Oh my God. This is really great. I'm trying to think. So I know you said you're writing a book too. Have you started writing the book yet?
I finished writing.
Okay. So when is it coming out?
Yeah. We're working on the structural edits right now, which is just a phase where my mentors are reading through it, sending me notes saying, I don't know what this means. Because I write in a lot of street lingo because I lived on the street for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people don't know what trap house means or HBIC or, you know what I mean? So I kind of have to like...
I can't wait to read this
book. Gotta water it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
So things like that. And I've hired a global transformational speaking mentor who's going to help me with my signature speech.
Nice.
So when the book launch happens, I have a product to sell, just like Ash Cash was talking about in there. So it's important to get people who've been there before, like follow the lead of people that you admire, people's careers that you want, like get in with those people, you know? And I had no idea podcasts were even on the menu. It wasn't a thought in my head until a few weeks ago, one of my writing mentors said, and we're going to start booking you on some podcasts.
Look at you.
I said, what? I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I saw, you know, David's Shan's things pop up on my Instagram because that's what happens.
Alignment.
You know? And so I ended up here and my goal was to actually just kind of like, I want people to ask me questions that I don't want to know what's coming. I know my story.
Yeah.
But at what prompt?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And this is new for me as well because normally I do my podcast virtually. So I do it on Zoom, and I can have some notes in front of me to like kind of like jog my memory. So for me, this is a blessing because I want to get better at like just having conversations with people.
That's getting to know somebody,
asking questions to invoke certain responses or you know, so this is a blessing for me. So I'm really excited. So you have the book coming up. You're going to have your signature speech. You have your first podcast interview now. You're going to be on more podcasts, of course. Do you see yourself doing a podcast one day?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting. One of my clients the other day was like, I have a podcast space. You can use it whenever you want.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, that's great.
Perfect.
You know, it's like when you start to, wherever your attention goes, that energy flows. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's super exciting to have all this happening. So this is exactly what I wanted from today.
This is amazing.
So thank you for this gift.
You are so welcome. So at the end of the day, like, what do you want your legacy to be as far as like when you start getting out there and sharing your story, the book comes out and everything, like, what do you want people to take away from that?
Well, I mean, my legacy would be down the road with my children's children, you know, and kind of just breaking the patterns, the familial patterns that I have seen with like the dominating man and the weaker woman, you know, like I see my sons kind of in that mindset too. And I fault myself a bit because I wasn't around. So they were raised by their dads. So that's some generational cursing, like legacy I would like to see broken.
Yeah.
And also investments for my kids. That's a legacy I want to see, you know? But for the most part, it's like shit is going to happen. There's going to be piles of shit everywhere. And it is okay to not have the capacity to understand what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it is okay to not have the capacity to articulate how you're feeling. And some things come out crooked and people get upset because you hurt their feelings. That is all okay.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sit in it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live there. Yeah. There's a time and space and like changing your perspective that, okay, I have to pivot right now. I don't want to. I don't like what this person's done. I can't believe they've done this, but is it possible that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself?
Right.
And this
door
is closing because I'm going to be my higher self. I'm, you know, and I don't care for when women are like, oh, this man leaving, that means another good one's coming. Fuck that.
Right.
Okay. You can only attract and magnetize what you are. Mm. You know, and right, I haven't dated in over 2.5 years. I haven't had sex in over 2.5 years. I am waiting for that worthy, valuable soul that God is preparing for me patiently that will arrive. And I'm not saying a white horse, but I want someone who is going to know who they are, know where they stand, and can lead me in a place that I'm interested in going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just... For the most part, my audience is women. Mm-hmm. Women who have been betrayed, bamboozled, the rug pulled out, you know? But we already knew that shit was happening because we felt it.
Right.
But God's like, oh, that's not enough. That's not enough.
Let's try this a different way.
Let's do this. Boom. Right. And then we're surprised.
That is so true. Oh my gosh. It's like the story of my life. My dating life, at least.
And then we're surprised because all those beige flags ended up being the red one.
Right.
And your body finally says, enough.
And breaks down.
Enough. And you're forced to make a change. Like, at what point did we start listening to that feeling? And we don't have to explain it.
Because some people try to justify it. Like, I don't know if that's exactly what I felt, but maybe I'm just hungry.
No, we don't have to explain it. We don't have to people please it.
If you don't have like the tangible evidence of whatever you're feeling, you can feel like you're misleading. Like it's misleading yourself or something.
No, that is, trust that. Yeah. Trust that feeling that you feel right here that goes, eek. Like, ooh, what was that? I don't know what's happening right now, but whatever this is, it's not for me.
Right.
And not, you don't have to explain it, apologize for it.
Right.
No, and keep it moving. And I just hope I can hold that so close and keep that mind-body communication.
Absolutely.
And that is the legacy I would love to leave.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes, because grandkids one day, you know, get to hear grandma's stories, you know? And how she trying, you know.
And that teaches your little girl boundaries, like those her boundaries. You shouldn't have to teach someone what their boundaries are.
Right.
They feel it.
Right.
And that you, to your daughter, which I had a daughter, but to your daughter, you feel that, honey, that means no.
Right.
And you tell whatever's happening around you, it's no.
Yeah, and honor it too as well.
And you don't have to say please and thank you with it. Mm-hmm. It's just no.
No. No is a complete sentence.
Yes.
Period. So, oh my God. So before you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions, okay. Which I know you're going to be amazing at.
Okay, let's rapid fire.
Yes. And if you need to expand, you can as well. So the first one, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was prostituting, living on the street, I still had a glimmer of hope that wasn't the end for me. So I always have hope that there's like bigger, better, you know, that's just something that's in me, you know, to success. Find the people that have come before you that have done what you want to do, follow that lead, and then make it your own. Don't be a copycat.
Yeah.
Make it your own.
Yeah.
And the next is, don't allow people in your space that don't vibe with your energy. I fire clients all the time.
I know that's right.
Because
fire your clients.
I don't like the way you make me feel. That is my comfort zone, that I'm an authority in this space, and your energy is rubbing me the wrong way. And that is enough for me to be like, I don't think we're the right fit.
I've literally had to come home sometime and like sage myself from people. Like, oh my gosh.
If you gotta save yourself, they shouldn't be back in your
space. One and done. She hit me up before next time. I was like, yeah, I'm not available. Like, just ignore that.
And like, and not making excuses for it.
Right.
Because now that's putting you in a position to lie. No. I don't like the way your energy felt in my space.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps that's a gift to them, because then they can like, I wonder what's up with me. Oh, I know, I'm a fucking cunt. You know?
Right. Like, self-realization.
Just be honest, because like the best possible outcome is the one that comes from truth. Although it may not feel like it in the moment, the best possible outcome, the most reality you're ever going to get is the one that comes from truth.
Absolutely. I love that. Three cases of success. Oh, how do you measure your success?
Well, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say my bank accounts. But in a more heartfelt notion, the fact that I have the respect of my children now after having been out of their lives for so many years.
Yeah.
My oldest son lives with me now. The fact that he even wants to be around me, the fact that my 16-year-old told me a few weeks ago he wants to come live with me, that is my success.
And that's a testament to the work that you've done, like to improve yourself as well.
That's a testament to forgiveness and little boys loving their mama.
Yes.
So if mama's out there, have issues with children, just know they always come back.
They always
come back.
I love that.
Yeah, that's my success right there.
I love that. What is the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that has just always stuck with you?
A piece of advice has always stuck with me. Well, my mom always tells me things like, she says this to me often, little girl, she's in Louisiana, I'm from Louisiana. Little girl, you know, I wish I just could have been more like you. You always seem to go after exactly what you want, and you get it.
Aww.
So just knowing that my mama knows that and feels that about me, and she knows me better than anybody, and if I've always been like that my whole life, I know that that is truth.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What is a piece of advice that you can offer to another hairstylist who may be going through a hard time right now? And it's just ready to give up and just give in. They can't do it anymore, and enough is enough.
Well, I mean, it just depends on what those reasons are. If it's physical body, you got to take care of physical body.
Yeah.
You know, like I've been going through like physical body situations, and I just can't take those 8-hour days, 10-hour days. Like I physically hurt.
Yeah.
So if that's a situation, you got to handle that differently. If you're just feeling like you're in a rut, I was saying earlier, find someone's work that makes you feel something. Learn it, perfect it, so you can feel something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you could share with the Friends in Beauty community?
Oh, girl. So about 2 or 3 years ago, I came across this brand new lightener, you know, to lift hair.
Uh-huh.
And it was created by this Egyptian guy and this Jamaican girl, their husband yes. and wife, and they are cool as shit. They're from Chicago. And I saw what it was doing. It was lifting textured hair to white and Ooh. Keeping the curl pattern.
Ooh.
I'm like, if it can do that, I know I can do whatever I want with
yeah.
it. So I started ordering it and sending them back reels, you know what I mean? Showing them what I'm doing with their product.
Yeah.
I'm now a global educator for the brand.
Wow. See, look at that.
You know what I mean? So if you see something that you want and you believe in, start making reels and
yes.
sending them to the company so you get noticed, you know? So that lightener is called Blonde Solutions. Has been a game changer for me behind the chair.
Yeah.
It is platinum perfection. And if you can lift textured hair, like a little tiny curl pattern, to white
right.
and keep that curl pattern.
That's fire.
Your salary, your books, your clients, your pops.
I love that.
Pops, Blonde Solutions.
I love mm-hmm. that, Blonde Solutions. Okay, so the last one is, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is.
My name is Allison Doss, and the key to longevity and success is checking your genealogy background and seeing what things happen health-wise in your genetic background and keeping an eye on those things, because best predictor of future is past.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, for that health, you got to have your health for longevity and success. And if
yeah.
you don't have that, if you've got breast cancer in the family, find out, get your mammograms. If you've got whatever it is that's happened with your grandma, your grandpa, the great grandma, the great grandpa,
yeah.
keep an eye on that stuff for yourself.
Yeah.
That's longevity and success.
Absolutely. I did an episode before called Personal Identity Crisis,
mm-hmm.
where I was just kind of like discussing like just the things that we hold on to ourselves as like our identity.
Yeah.
Could kind of show up in our business.
Every way.
So y'all check that out. Mm-hmm. I forget what episode it is, but check it out. And then I just also want to ask you too, there's a lot of people who have gone through what society deems as like less shameful things than like drug mm-hmm, abuse mm-hmm, and, you know, mm-hmm. prostitution and stuff like that. But they're not as forthcoming with like sharing mm-hmm. their story
mm-hmm.
or just even admitting that they went mm-hmm. through that. Like where you are now in your mm-hmm. life, where does that come from for you to be able to speak so openly about it?
I take a lot of pride in the transformation.
Okay.
You know, and I take a lot of pride in the shock value of the reality of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And when I am even living in it, I'm not shameful of talking about it, because there's some type of shock value thing that I have within me that, like, I don't give a fuck what you
What's
think
your
about
side?
Me. Capricorn.
Capricorn.
Yes, Capricorn.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Real time, y'all. Real
time,
life. You know?
Really live.
Capricorn,
but
yeah.
But I have that. Really... Because I'm a cool cat. I'm a cool kid. And, like, even if it's shocking and you don't agree with what I'm saying, like, you like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
you're a vibe. You're totally a vibe.
You know? Like, the only person that doesn't get down with me is my 16-year-old son's father. And that's because I don't want him back. You know? But, like... I don't know. I've always appreciated that the shock value of my shit is
yeah.
as traumatic and as shameful as it's been. I kind of like to see that, whether it's negative or positive, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, like, the transformation that's happened, and like when I get on my knees at night and I pray to God, like, thank you so much for giving me something so powerful to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for the journey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the pain. Thank you. And I even welcome whatever it is to come, because that's going to help me to relate to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help me offer some type of transformational energy that's
exactly.
going to help someone else.
Exactly.
So I welcome it all.
Yep. Yes. Oh my God. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Before you go, please share like your social media information, like however you want people to connect with you, follow your journey, get your book.
When
I need the book. So when the book comes out, you have to come back.
I will. I definitely will.
I have so much to talk to you about now.
Right now I strictly have my hair page, and this content today will be used to start my new page, which I haven't figured out the name for. Probably my name, Allison Eve Doss.
Okay.
My hair page is Boss Doss Hair.
I love that.
But yeah, so I will be, you know, transitioning from the hair page into, you know, more of the shit I really want to talk about.
Yes. I love this. Well, Alice, thank you so much for
sitting
down and doing this. It's an absolute pleasure to be the first person whose podcast you have, you know, been featured on. And just also thank you for sharing your story, because I know that it's going to touch somebody.
Yeah, I hope
somebody that listens to this, if you have someone who is in a similar situation, like give them this episode, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you can't change, you know.
So. I am hope.
Yes.
I am hope. I am
personified.
You. I am you. You are me. I am you. You are me. We are the same.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty. Hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.